At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
A t-shirt and jeans. Mac and cheese. Oceans and sunsets. Some things in life are an obvious match. Like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors looking for a custodian who can help them go further. With all the wealth services, technology, and support an RIA firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabious. Find your match and learn why custody is just the beginning at Schwabious.com.
Passing the torch, sportswomen who inspire. When Mary Peters went to the Olympic Games in Munich in 1973, she firmly believed she could win the pentathlon gold medal. Not many others shared her conviction. She had finished only fourth and ninth in the previous two Olympics, and at 33 years old, she was considered to be past her best. Her ultimate victory in Munich, and one that is legendary, not only rocketed her to the height of sporting legend, but her mental toughness, self-belief, and committed fundraising for the Mary Peters Trust ever since has inspired a generation of women. Inspirational women are who she spoke to with Passing the Torch, which is a collection of interviews with past and present sportswomen across a variety of disciplines, all sharing the highs and lows. Delighted to be joining me live on the line from Northern Ireland. Mary Peters herself. Mary, good morning.
Hi,
to you.
Good morning.
Great to have you with us.
Where
to start, Mary? Because when anybody mentions your name, it's such an iconic. What you did in Munich is such an iconic moment in sporting history that anybody of a certain age, and I was only a sort of just past toddling, remembers the legend of Mary Peters in Munich. What was that like?
It was amazing because Northern Ireland were going through terrible times. There were over 500 people died that year because of the terrorist activity. And I didn't have a running track even in Belfast. We had one that at the university, but it was full of potholes. So to go away, not really being very well known, even though I'd been athletics international for a long time, was a challenge. But I really, really, for the first time in my life, wanted to win and went with that attitude.
And also looking at your own backstory, I mean, the book is full of inspirational women, and I was lucky enough to get a copy a couple of weeks ago. And I thought I knew your story, but your story is absolutely outstanding. And you know how as you said, you didn't even have a running track. And did you make your own sandpit and high jumps and all that sort of thing?
Yeah, for my 16th birthday, my dad gave me a load of sand for a high jump pit. And for my 17th birthday, a load of cement so that I could have a shot put circle. Because the pentathlon was very new in those days, and not many people throughout the world were doing it. In fact, the first Olympic pentathlon was in Tokyo in 1964, and the first Commonwealth Games was 1970. And then, of course, after my Olympic success, the event changed, and the 200 meters became an 800 meters for one Olympics. And then following that, it became a heptathlon, which is better known today. But they brought back the 200 meters and added the javelin.
So why did you decide the time was right then to put together your book, Passing the Torch?
Well, I have a charity called the Mary Peters Trust, which helps all our young people get on the ladder of success. But there's only a smaller percentage of women take part in sport, and I wanted to inspire a new generation of young people to get involved so they could travel the world as I had done and enjoy the rewards of success in sport. But also you make great friends as you go through your life, and particularly through sport. And I'd phoned up the local bookshop, and I wanted to buy a book for a friend of mine for her birthday. And they only had four books that were for women in sport, but hundreds for men. So I decided it was a good time, and it was another way of raising money for my charity.
Would you say, though, that you could argue that women's sport, though, has never been more in the headlines? I mean, we, in the UK at least, female sport, especially football, has never been higher, the Lionesses. And even here in Spain, we are getting reports of the Spanish football women's teams. There was a big match in Madrid recently, which broke all records at the Atletico Madrid Stadium. And also the Spanish women's rugby team are high on the list.
And cricket and tennis and netball was on television here at home. It is getting a much higher profile since I started writing the book, which is a number of years ago now. But I do want young people to get off their iPads and get out and enjoy the sport. Yesterday I went to a judo tournament where a young man who's blind, competing next year at the Tokyo Olympics in judo, and we had from 5-year-olds to 11-year-olds trying it with blindfolds, and it was joyous to see the enthusiasm of the kids. And the day before, I was watching the Northern Ireland table tennis championships, and to see the excitement of young people succeeding in their sport and going home with trophies for their mum.
The other, I'm glad that you mentioned that the fact of, because your book carries both sort of Paralympians as well as able-bodied athletes.
Yes, Tanny Gray Thompson's one of my contributors, and of course, she won more medals in Paralympic sport than anybody I know, and she's now a baroness sitting in the House of Lords, and she was very generous with her time and her support of the book.
And what was the reaction like when you approached these women there? Because obviously, you know, you are a living legend yourself. So were people very quick, if I may say so? Were people sort of very, very quick to say, yes, we want to get involved with this, we want to tell our stories? And is there an underlying message, do you think, from, I mean, all of these women across all these different disciplines, across all of these different time periods as well, is there an underlying sort of message to get out there?
Well, very often it's a brother or a sister, or a mum or a dad who have been involved in sport, or the school teachers. They're very influential. If you can get somebody who's interested in sport themselves, they will pass on that inspiration to the next generation. But it's just reading about other people's success, and people who are very ordinary like me, who actually made it. I never, ever had that dream. And I say to young people now, most important thing in sport is to enjoy it and then to follow your dreams.
Perhaps, because you said a little bit earlier, I was asking people to get off there, and I was a bit worried what you're going to say next, but you said iPads, thank goodness. But but perhaps this is a thing, because we are seeing, when I was a young person, say in the mid to late 70s and the early 80s, you know, there was a local cricket club, there was the local rugby club. We played rugby at school, we did a whole range of sports at school, including hockey, rugby. We didn't do football at my school, etc. And we, you know, there was always something going on. There was an athletic scene as well. Are we seeing, because we didn't have the internet, we didn't have the games consoles, we didn't have 18,000 channels of TV, and we're seeing a rise in teenage obesity and also the health related problems with that. Hopefully your book will go to say to young people, you can do this, and it's not the winning per se, but it's the taking part.
Absolutely. But also, I try as many sports as you can, so that you can find the one that suits you best. You know, some people may not have a bicycle, but they could borrow one and try it and see if they're good enough to be able to be good at it. Or swimming, which is such a hard sport because the pools are for general use and young swimmers have to get up at 5:30 in the morning and go and use the pool when the lanes are free so that they can have time to be able to do their training, and then have to go have a shower, have their breakfast and go off to school and perhaps come back in the evening to do their training. But we have hundreds of people doing that and maybe not even making a club team, never mind a representative team. But look at Adam Peaty, the British swimmer who has done so extraordinarily well because he's dedicated his life to it. And although this book is for women, it will inspire men as well.
You've just reminded me of my school days when I used to play water polo with my school, and that was bad enough. But the swimming squad are up and in the pool at some ridiculous hour in the morning, in all weathers, in the cold and the dark. You've also got some inspiring stories, like, because one of my other favourite sports is anything to do with motorsport, and Maria Costello, who is an incredible figure.
Absolutely. In a man's world, and to be determined enough to continue and to do so well in her sport. And, you know, not everybody can afford that, but there are others that they can afford. You only need a pair of trainers to go running, or you need a pool to be able to swim and have a swimming costume. But, you know, one of the girls that I've written about is Janet Gray, who's one of the girls from the town that I live in. She's a blind water skier and was world champion 16 times, won 16 gold medals. And you would have thought that perhaps she would never, ever have had the opportunity to take part in sport because she couldn't see. And there's another story about Martine Wright, who was injured in the London bombing, lost both her legs. And she could have sat back and decided that was the end of her life. But no, she wanted to compete at the London Olympics. And she played in the Paralympic sitting volleyball team. And she's the most delightful, excitable lady that you would wish to meet. So, you know, don't think that you're not good at sport. There's something out there for you.
And also the other thing about sport, and I played also very, very, very bad rugby, but when I was playing in the London area, the sport isn't just about what happens on the field, but also what happens afterwards. And you make friendship, and you meet people that you wouldn't normally meet because you're going outside your comfort zone.
Absolutely, and I still friendly with the girls that I competed way back in the 50s and 60s.
You also spoke to some pretty sort of legendary names apart from yourself, people like Dame Kelly Holmes and Jessica Ennis Hill, Sue Barker, Fatima Whitbread as well. That's a blast from the 70s as well. I forgot about Fatima. And it's lovely to see them get involved with the book.
Yes, they were very willing. Now, there's a few people missing. And that disappoints me because they weren't prepared to contribute. They just either didn't have time or they're involved with families or whatever. And they could have been an inspiration, but they're the losers because the book is flying off the shelves as a Christmas present. And I just hope that grannies and mummies and teachers will buy the book for their loved ones, and make sure that they don't miss out in life of the opportunity of being good at sport or just enjoying the activities.
And also, the foreword was written by perhaps the UK's most famous royal equestrian, you could say.
Yes. Princess Royal's been very supportive. Princess Anne was an Olympian herself and won a European three-day event years ago, and she's patron of my charity, and she was very willing to support me.
What's the book couldn't have come out at a more interesting time either, because women's sport does stand at something of a crossroads. There's calls for equal pay, the profile of certain sports has never been higher, audience figures for football, and there are also some interesting political, and I'm not going to drag you in down to the political thing about various people who should or shouldn't be competing in athletics because of gender fluidity or whatever, but it is perhaps the right time for this book to come out as women's sport is so much in the headlines.
Absolutely, and such role models as we have at the moment. Katarina Johnson-Thompson, who won the World Championship heptathlon, and Dina Asher-Smith, who won the 100 metres at the World Championships. You know, they're all inspirational young women who can get people out and trying it.
If there's a favourite story or a favourite memory from your own career, Mary, that you think can inspire, you know, people, young people who are listening to this show or maybe listening on the sort of catch-up on their iPads, what was the thing that inspired you most and what's your favourite memory from competing? It doesn't have to be sort of Munich, but from any of the events that you competed in during your illustrious career.
Well, my first Olympics was Tokyo 55 years ago. We were in Japan And of course, they're all going next year to compete there too. And I shared a room with three other girls. Now, that wouldn't happen today. There would be single rooms with an ensuite to facilitate the top athletes. But in my room, Mary Rand won a gold and a bronze, and Anne Packer won a gold and a silver, and I was fourth, and the other girl made the final. So we had a room full of excitement, somebody coming back most days with a medal, and that to me is as good as it was in Munich, winning for myself, because we shared those moments. And you do share the joys and sorrows if you're a member of a team. But very often you can be out there alone, cold, wet, maybe snowing, and you're still having to do that dedicated training to make sure that you're going to be on the rostrum the next time. And I often think back on those long, lonely days, but I still have such good friends that that fades into the background.
The book is called Passing the Torch, Sportswomen Who Inspire. It's by Mary Peters. It's out now on Gateway Publishing. Mary, if people want to find out more about you or about the book, I mean, it's gone everywhere, but where can people find you? Do you have a website for yourself or for your charity?
Yes, we do, the Mary Peters Trust. And the book's available on Amazon as well as in the bookshops. So just please buy it. It will help the next generation of young Northern Ireland sports people.
And also it's available as a download from our very own Talk Radio Europe website as well, so people can get it through that way, which is a way of doing it. Only begs the question, Mary, after all this and talking to all these sportswomen, what are you up to? What's up for Mary? What's Mary Peters doing on the run-up to Christmas and looking forward to in 2020?
I celebrated my 80th birthday this summer.
Congratulations.
And so I'm trying to say no and to wind down a little bit and to enjoy patchwork quilting, which is one of my hobbies. And I'm going off to Tenerife tomorrow for a few days sunshine because it's very cold and wet here in Belfast.
Something tells me that looking at the front cover, you look incredibly good shape. I can't believe that you'd be approaching your sort of that age, Mary.
Oh well, I've kept myself fit all my life, and I have a real joy of life. I get out there every day doing something special, and that's my message to everybody. Get up and go. Don't just sit around and expect things to come to you.
One final question then, Mary. You mentioned that you do a bit of patchwork quilting. Is there a competitive element to that? Can you sometimes think, well, I can just do that little bit longer, get up that half hour early just to get that final bit finished?
Absolutely, and my girlfriend laughs at me because she thinks I'm sprinting down the 100 metres when I'm on the sewing machine because I make it go so fast.
Brilliant. The book is called Passing the Torch, Sportswomen Who Inspire. It's by Mary Peters. It's out now on Gateway Publishing. Mary, I don't need to say this often, but it's been a pleasure and a real privilege to speak to you today.
That's very kind of you. Thank you so much.